on the mat. You play football, did you leave it on the field? You play basketball, did you leave it on the court? Or volleyball, the court, and so forth. But the point is this. Did you give everything you had? And I believe that we all start equal, but it's up to us to determine if we're using everything that the Lord freely gave us. And so where I want you to allow me to take you this morning is to challenge you to make sure you're all in. And if you're not all in, taking a look at what's keeping you from being all in. Amen?
Amen.
A couple weeks ago, and I'll bring up the victory, my football team played a school, not that school, and a lot of the sportscasters looked at this. It was late in the game, and the team was down. My team was down by 3 points. We were playing in opposition. And he faked a field goal, which would have tied, and our field goal kickers never missed a field goal yet all year. So it would have been a given. We'd have tied for the most part. But he chose a trick play to try to get a first down to win the game. Well, he missed it. Everybody, oh my gosh, I can't believe you did that. Later on, again, we got the ball back, and we were looking to get down to where we could, we thought, kick a field goal. But the coach didn't have that in mind. He wasn't looking to tie. He was looking to win. And I want that analogy to soak in. The Lord doesn't want us just looking to get by, to just tie. So we got to go into overtime. He wants you to go for the gusto, for the win, for the breakthroughs. Now I'm going to read a scripture to you, and you can follow. I know you have the handout, but I'm going to start in Luke. I'm going to read from the very King James and the New King James, which I believe in this particular area gives us the true translation of the heartbeat of Jesus. And I'm going to pick it up at verse 4. And we got Simon Peter, the fisherman. Because I believe I can allow me to put this in context of where I'm going this morning. And the Bible says this in verse 4. When he had stopped speaking, and of course Jesus was out in a boat speaking and all this, he said to Simon Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Simon Peter answered and said to him, Master, Jesus, I've toiled all night, caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Now, your translation may say nets, but if you go back to the original, it's net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish. The nets were breaking. They signaled another partner. They came out. Both boats began to sink. What I want you to do is to see a scenario. We know Simon Peter many times put his foot in his what? Mouth. We knew a lot of times he wanted to play the role, but he didn't always act. And Jesus has discernment. Now you can imagine Peter and his team had fished all night. Now put it in your perspective. You've worked. You've been a Christian. You've been doing everything that you know to do. And you get to this place. Now Jesus says, as you're tired, you're kind of thinking, wow, it's time to sleep. Jesus says, launch out and set down your nets. And I can see Simon Peter thinking, oh my gosh, I don't want to deny the Lord. I already told him, man, doesn't he know we're tired and we've fished all night and didn't even catch one? But he says, because you told me, I will cast out the net. In other words, I'll go through the motions, but I'm not going to cast out the nets. I'm only going to cast out the net because I don't expect anything. And so what happens is the influx was too much, and the net began to break. He called for other people to come out, and on and on and on. What I'm telling you is this. If we're not fully obedient to what the Lord is, how many breakthroughs are we missing out on?
Amen.
How many things do we know better, but we're looking for shortcuts to just look the part, but we're not living the part? Pastor Mike was saying we have prayer all week long, and we don't expect people at work and so forth, but we get prayer requests coming in all the time. Now, let me tell you something. Everybody look at me. My prayers are no more significant than your prayers. And we get needs. Oh, my gosh, we got this, we got this. My question back is, are you praying an hour a day for your breakthrough? or are you just throwing it out? Well, I hope you're praying. I say a little prayer around the meal. I'm not trying to put you in bondage. What I'm saying is, how much are you in? Are you all in? Or are you just kind of getting by? Do you really want the breakthrough? Or do you just want to look the part? The reason why we're fasting is not because we love to fast. We're fasting because the Lord has challenged His church. He says there are certain breakthroughs that only come with prayer and fasting. Hold it, chill of faith. We're coming up with something new. No, we're coming up with something that's old that we haven't implemented. We used to always fast one day a week as a church, and we had major breakthroughs and so forth. But there's significance because we're getting bombarded with prayer requests coming in, and we're getting answers to prayer. But my question is, are you all in? Are you set? And you don't have to come to the building. 12 to 1, we pray. You can be praying. Are you praying for your church family? Are you all in? Or you come to church and, hi, how you doing, and all so forth. And all week we don't think of anything else till we come back. Peter wanted the Lord to think, well, yeah, I'll listen to you. I'll throw out one net. And Jesus is just looking for obedience. Obedience means we already know. If I was to tell you, you already know what works. Prayer does work. Fasting does work. Jesus, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, challenged the disciples. He says, it's getting tough. I'm paraphrasing a little bit, man. I need you all to just pray for an hour. Comes back, they're sleeping. See, it wasn't just Jesus that needed a breakthrough. He saw the body needed the breakthrough. This isn't Pastor Weld and Pastor Mike breakthrough time, 12 to 1. This is this church's breakthrough. We pray for you. When we get the prayer request, we bombard. We're praying, believing God. And yet, I know you guys get schedules, get breaks. We're saying, hey, you can come and hook up. Are you all in? If you're all in, aren't you excited when you see your brothers and sisters get breakthroughs too? Because if it's only about you, you're missing it. Because Jesus didn't come to be about him. He came to be about others. And he broke that stigma that it's all about the leadership. They got the power. They'll lay hands on the sick and they'll cast out devils. No, all who believe. All who are in will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. All who are in will cast out devils. But if we're not all in, how many fish did Simon Peter probably lose? How much destruction happened that it didn't have to happen? How many breakthroughs do we miss out on? Because we're just partially in. We play the part. We don't live the part. See, it's easy to play and live the part at church. But this isn't really where we impact the world. It's when we leave those two doors. It's there. It's a ministry to all of us. So I go back to it, and then I see the word the Lord says, we're all very significant. We're a puzzle piece. We got it in prayer. That was a word that came, the pieces of the puzzle. There's something significant in why we need each other and all on board. How bad do you want your breakthrough? What is it that you're believing God for that you haven't gotten? Have you been willing to say, Lord, I know you've told me to pray and fast. Have you jumped on? Are you... Came up in our leadership, well, let's let people decide what they want to do. If they just want to fast, you know, a donut or fast. I said, no, let's do it like Jesus. They fasted food. You know why? Because you're telling your body you don't control me. Jesus is my Lord, and I love that he's told me to be a blessing to others. So I stand to do this on behalf of others, even at the detriment of getting hungry. And some of us realize doesn't take, you say, well, what's 24 hours? You get hungry. Are we all in? Why would the Lord in the new covenant, Hebrews, say, run the race that Jesus has set before you? Lay aside every weight and the sin that breaks us down. That wasn't to unbelievers. That was to the church. Are you all in running the race, or are you still hanging on to things that beset you and keep us from fulfilling what God's called us to be? In 1990, in May, and we'll be in 29 years come this next spring, the challenge has always been to believers. Let's make a difference. Let's go change the world in which we live in. Let's not beat up other Christians wherever they worship, but let's be strong and let's be all in. And if people make fun of us, and we have, it's come back, oh, they're really overboard. Yeah, they do all this stuff. They dance around and jump up and down. It doesn't matter what they say. If they're believers, they're on our team, and they're not our enemies. But my question is, are you all in? Now, I'm believing most of you. Lynn's up here giving a giving thing. That shouldn't even be an issue. Are you all in with your finances? I mean, do you really love the people here and you want breakthroughs? You love all the ministry support and so forth? And it's amazing. You're still pulling teeth. That's an issue. We shouldn't even have to do an exhortation that way, because if you're all in, wow, I can't wait. Wow, gosh. So many of you are getting raises and getting blessings and getting breakthroughs. Someone got a job and they were reporting. Even when we went in, they put me on the first shift, which was the best shift. That's not by accident. We're praying for it, and you're believing God. Are you keeping God number one with every part of your life? Hi, Isaiah. I'm going to read this out of my message, because this is significant. You're looking at me with those big eyes, big beautiful eyes that God gave you. This is what prophetic word to Isaiah was in Isaiah 54. Now, let me just tell you this. Most of you understand this, but the old covenant was written in the natural sense that when they had it exposed to them, they had to translate it not only to the natural, but to the spiritual. Whereas the new covenant was the spiritual sense that you could convert back to the biological sense. So when you're looking at this, it says this: sing out, O barren woman, who has never had a baby. Now, in the natural, that would be a declaration of someone that had not given a biological birth. But that's not the spiritual rendering of this. In the body of Christ, there are many believers that have not understood that we are birthers to the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And he says this: fill the air with worship. You who have never experienced childbirth, you that have never seen breakthroughs and birthings in the spiritual realm, stay with me. Clear lots of ground for your tents. Make your tents large. Spread out. Think big. Use plenty of rope. Drive the tent pegs deep. You're going to need lots of elbow room for your growing family, for your growing breaking forth or birthing. Don't be afraid. You're not going to be embarrassed. Don't hold back. You're not going to come up short. Now, everybody look at me. The country, America, went through a very strategic hurricane. They said it was one of the greatest ones that ever hit the coast of the United States. I believe it hit, and it was between a 4 and 5, but it had sustained winds in this little community, city, called Mexico Beach, Florida. I know you stayed up in this hurricane, and you saw the devastation. But I thought, this is significant. There is a doctor, his name was LeBron Lackey, and his uncle, years before, decided that they were going to build a house on this land that would withstand a hurricane. So they got together, they began to check the codes, and the codes were set up to withstand 125-mile-an-hour winds. They said, what would it take to build it to withstand 250 mile an hour? And so what they did, They built it to withstand 250 mile an hour. Now, the code's only 125. So they checked with the codes, and they said, well, the pilings that it's set on only need to be 30 feet deep. They said, what would it be if we made them 40? So they continued to build this. Now, I'm sharing this because look at me. Every one of those that saw the picture, the whole Mexico beach was leveled except for this one beautiful home that was very hard, not touched. And there was a camera that filmed these 150 mile an hour winds pelting it for forever. Let me ask you this. Did the land in which they put this on cost any more or less than the other ones that had their places blown down? Our salvation is on equal ground, folks. Our salvation costs us nothing. All we have to do is give our hearts to the Lord. We all start equal. It's how we build our foundation that makes whether or not we stand or withstand the storms that are not just going to come to unbelievers, but they're also going to come against believers. And I thought as they were interviewing these two, they were just commenting on, and then of course because he was a doctor, the newscaster says, oh my gosh, it must have cost big time more. And this is what the doctor said. Most everything only cost 10% more, and the most anything caught more was 20%. So to put the effort and the time to shore up this thing to be twice as strong is the normal, it costs 10 to 20% more. And I thought, if we as believers are all in, it's not going to take much but 10 to 20% more than a nominal Christian is willing to walk to sustain the hell that's being unleashed upon our nation. Because I'm telling you, we're under attack as a nation. The progressive agenda is trying to give us a hook, line, and sinker on what we should believe. And I'm telling you, the church is not going to be stupid any longer. We're going to get grounded and founded. We're not Republicans, Democrats. We're for what's right. And what's right is the principles of the Word of the living God. Because we're going to build it. This is what Matthew 7 says. A wise man or woman will build their house on the rock. The rains will descend. The floods will come. The winds will blow. And it will beat upon that house. And it will not fall. For it's founded on the rock. And it goes into the next verse. The foolish man or woman are going to build it on sand. The rains will descend, the floods will come, the winds will blow and will beat upon that house, and it will fall. And great will be its fall. Look at me, church. Does the Lord love all of us equal? Does he want us all to be a blessing and prosper and be? Yes, but we can't do it our way in cheap corner eyes and just barely get by. He wants us all in. Amen. I always love to see somebody that has a radical experience. Where is Jeff falling out of a tree and being dead 8 times or whatever? Wakes up and tells me, I can't just be nominal anymore. I'm all in. I want it all. I'm thinking, we need a wake-up call. We need to all get in. Can you imagine how we could turn this place upside down for the Lord if we were all in and not just playing on the edges? Well, I'll make it to church when I don't have anything else going on, or I'll pray maybe, but I hope you all are for me. If you don't think I need your prayers as much as you need my prayers, then you need to read the same book, because it says we're supposed to pray one to another and stand with one another. This is bigger than us. This that's coming in America, in Saginaw, bring it down home. We need us all in. Sold out. Commit it to the Lord. Try to get people into Bible studies, and people quit having Bible studies. Nobody wants to come. Or when they come, it's only if nothing else is going on. I'm thinking, cancel it. Don't have it. I don't want anybody in bondage. But I'm telling you, there's coming some men and women that can't wait for an opportunity. I don't know, but I'm going to have something in my house or in my home because I'm going to let the Word of God get in my brothers and sisters because I'm all in and I want to set the captives free. Not look for reasons to just get by. Or count on others to pray you through. I will always commit myself. We have a prayer list. We pray for the prayer request. But then everybody in here that calls this your family, your names go on. And we bombard heaven. And we pray for breakthroughs. But I'm here to say, if you're not as diligent in praying as we are, God does release some mercy. But I tell you, the principles are still true. Whatever a man or woman sows, that's what they're going to reap. I'm saying all in means you're sowing to prayer and fasting, and you're putting others ahead of your own self. And if you're not, I'm encouraging you, come on, it's not too late. Thank God it's not too late. So, I think the Lord says, let's put the nets out, because the catch is going to be tremendous. This is what the Bible says. Prophetic word, Isaiah 60. Can you put yourself in this place? Arise and shine, mighty army of God. For the light has come, and the manifested presence of your Lord is going to get on you. Behold, there will be darkness all around you on the earth. Anybody see that? And the people are going to be in gross darkness. I've never seen gross darkness like now. Blatantly lying and doing stupid stuff. Whew. But the Lord is going to rise on you, remnant, that are all in. And the unbelievers are going to run to the light that's on you. And we know who the light is. His name is Jesus. Lift up your eyes all around. They're gathering together. They're coming from afar. Your daughters and sons that have been wayward are coming because of glory. The manifest of presence is on you, and you have not quit because you've been all in. You've been praying them in. You've been believing God for them. It says there's coming a prophetic time. They're going to come from afar, and you're going to be rejoicing because you've been believing God for these wayward sons and daughters. Maybe one time they even served the Lord, but they've gotten wayward. And it says, the abundance of the sea representing people are coming to you. The wealth of the unbelievers are coming to you. God wants us to prosper because he wants to establish his covenant. He says, I give you wealth to establish your covenant. But if you're not all in, you're waiting to win the lottery. I'm here to tell you, if you aren't faithful a little, you're not going to give if you win the lottery. That's a trick of the enemy. Well, if I had then, I might. No, you'd give us your peanut result. You need to. Are you all in? If you're all in, God's way works. Amen. And obedience is important. Amen. Let me read another prophet of God. This is what he said was about to happen, and I believe it's pertinent to now than ever before in Ezekiel 47. He says, he brought Ezekiel into the temple or the church, and there was water flowing. Water represents the word of God. It was flowing. And I noticed it was up to my ankles. And as I continued to wait upon me, it got up to my knees. And then before long, it was in my waist, up to my waist. This was a deluge of the rain of the Holy Ghost and rain coming into the church of the living God. Again, he measured, and it became like a river. You couldn't cross anymore. You had to swim. You had to not hang on to your tippy toes any longer. You're either all in or you're going to get swept away. And it said this river, it says it couldn't be crossed. Representing, there's coming a time when this outpouring of the Holy Ghost will not be the time. Well, now I think I'll get serious with God. No, now's the time to get all in so you can be part of this river, because this is what it's going to do. It says, Son of Man, he brought me to the banks of the river. And when I crossed, it was very many trees on both sides. What do trees represent, people? People. Then he said to me, this water flows out of the sanctuary. And wherever this flow goes, there's healing. Do you think this nation needs healing? You think maybe your families even need healing. It's going to flow out of you, and it's going to bring healing and health, not because you're anybody. It's because the one that lives in you is somebody, and that's called the power of God, the Holy Ghost, the kingdom of heaven. That's within us. It's going to flow out of us and bring healing and health. And the church needs healing and health. We need to break off some of these things that we're still struggling with. And then he says this, and it shall come that every living thing that moves, wherever the rivers go. You want to be a river? The Lord wants you to be a river, because out of your belly is supposed to flow rivers of living water. Everywhere you go, the Bible says you're going to take healing. Everything is going to live wherever you go. That sounds like a move of the Holy Ghost to me. That looks like we're ripe for something like that. Because as gross darkness is on the people and darkness, I get smiling. I'm telling you, there's a remnant that's rising up that's saying, Lord, I'm all in. I want the whole shot. I want the whole, what is it, knit and caboodle or whatever. Kit and caboodle. Enchilada. And it says, and this is the challenge to us, verse 10. It shall be, you will be fishermen. And he's going to have you spread your nets out, and you're going to catch great numbers. But to the swamps and the marshes, there will be no healing. If you've ever seen a swamp or a marsh, it's a body of water that has no inlet, no outlet. In fact, the Dead Sea is a good example of it. It has no in channels, no out, and it's all dead. Salt Lake, same thing. Nothing grows in it. It's dead. In its marshes and so forth. I'm telling you what, I don't want Christians to be powerless. I want us to be all in so that we can be rivers, not marshes and swamps that have no life to produce. Because God says wherever we go, we are going to produce life. Amen. And so I said all that to speak this to you. If you're all in, the Bible says, this is the psalmist. He was a worshiper. Psalms 92:13. Those who choose to be planted in God's house are going to flourish in the courts of their God. And as they get older, they're still going to bear fruit. They will stay fresh and flourishing. The rendering in Hebrew of fresh and flourishing is full of oil and green. There is a remnant that's all in. They're planted. I called someone that we'd been believing in a miracle, and they're not in the area. And I said, bro, I'm telling you right now, you got to get planted in a local body. You cannot just be all over the place. Get planted. And whatever you do, take whatever you're making and plant in that place and make sure that you're keeping God number one, because he can do, like Lynn says, whatever the 90% left is or whatever, he will bless it and multiply it, and you can't outgive him. But you got to be all in. You can't play on the edge. Well, and enough. If you need a breakthrough, church, if you need an individual breakthrough, my question is to you personally. Not, you can't blame anybody. We are the results. Just talking to family, was at a beautiful wedding a week ago. A niece, her and her fiance, now husband, were our worship leaders, a powerful work down in Kalamazoo. What they did in the middle of the wedding, they worshiped God. And I mean, talk about coming unglued. I could tell they're all in. And because of that one miracle after another, and everyone that did a toast was sharing Jesus. Jesus was shared in every aspect of it. It was beautiful. And I'm thinking, that's the church. That's us. We're beautiful. And we're all in. And being all in, we're not going to compromise. We're not going to settle. We're not just going to get by. We're not going to cut the corners. We're not just going to make it look like we're being obedient. We are going to be. That's us. That's us. Let's pray. Bow your heads if you would with me, please. Encourage those that are watching. You need a miracle? You need a breakthrough? Many of you that watch and tune in aren't connected to a local work. I'm going to encourage you to check out. There's one someplace that will be a blessing. And there are many of you that are listening that have just done enough to get by, and I'm going to encourage you, get all the way in. If you're not a prayer warrior, begin one. Become one. If you're not in the Word of God and studying, if you're not in a Bible study, if you're not, get in one. Surround yourself with mighty men and women of God that will keep you raised up, and you will be an unbeatable team and a force. Get connected and get all in. And if you need a miracle, don't just rely on hitting every prayer request you can hit. You become a prayer warrior in your home. If you can't get to a place that's praying and believe God to break you out of it so you're not just focusing on your own needs, but you're focusing on those around you. Because as you give to others, God will meet your needs. And you'll be blessed in the doing. Father, I pray right now for everyone that's here to hear. I thank you for a beautiful body you blessed us with here at Shield of Faith. And I thank you that the nominal part is going out the door. And men and women of valor are stepping up and saying, I'm all in, God. What more would you have me to do? I'm not looking just to be busy. I just want to be obedient. I want to be a real full-fledged Christian and not just one that talks it a little bit here or there. Father God, I thank you for the same Holy Ghost I have, my brothers and sisters have. And I pray that you stir up and fan the flame of the Holy Ghost within my brothers and sisters that will no longer just get by, but will look on going the whole route in Jesus' name. And Father God, if anyone has not made you Lord of their life, I pray right now that they will surrender their life to you and make you Lord of their life. Say, Jesus, I need you in my life, and I accept you as my Lord and Savior, and I need your help. I need that grace that's promised to me, and I need to walk in it and fulfill my calling. Guide me, lead me, plant me in the house of the Lord, that I'll flourish with the courts of my God, and I want to bear fruit as I get older. I thank you, God, that age is only a number. And as we age, we are bearing fruit, and we're staying flourishing and green. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Greet your brothers and sisters. Love on them. Let them know how important they are that they come to help fulfill that beautiful picture.